Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. We come on to introduce you to White Apple Institute's work, and we're so happy to have so many listeners. We have reached over 5,000 people who have viewed our profile and listened to our show. It's been exciting that by word of mouth that we have spread so quickly. We started last year. And so we're happy that we have great listeners, people that are participating. We appreciate the messages. We appreciate the request to be on our show, and we will be responding to those requests. Many doctors, many professional educators will be starting to present them on the show. So we have some callers that have called in on this beautiful Saturday morning. And let's see who's online here. Good morning. You're on air. 213.
Good morning, Professor Apple.
Hello there. And it sounds like our resource consultant.
This is Dorothy.
This is Dorothy. And I love it. Whatever God allows the morning to start with you on the show. It's always a pleasure. Thank you for being with us. And let me get the next person, and then we'll have you open up the show here. Okay?
Yes.
Hello. Good morning. This is 824.
Yeah, this is Tom Baker, President of the Student Advisory Board.
Oh, good.
Good morning.
Good morning. It's a pleasure to hear from you. And I hope things are going better for you in your life. I hope you're feeling better.
Yeah, they are. I'm healing.
Great, great. Well, let's listen to the show description this morning and see what have the listeners know what we're going to talk about. Dorothy, do you mind?
Oh, I'm happy to. Today's subject is Success at School and Work. Related to Prescription Drug Use, Part 2. How many drugs do you take to feel better at work or school? The answer is usually, I do not take drugs unless they're prescribed to me. Professor Applewhite, your host, will share some shocking news about prescription drugs and how adult learners are more vulnerable to take drugs that help them sleep, stay awake, stay energized, and focused. Our co-host, Nazim Rashid, will continue his discussion on addiction. Yay, that's it.
Exactly. And in starting our discussion on prescriptions again, a lot of things came up last week that I had no idea would come up, and I'd like to expound a little bit on that. One of them is the factor that we're not necessarily responsible, some of us, for the drugs that we take, the many drugs that we take, because they're prescribed to us by our doctors. And so that's one thing we need to look at. And also, this show, we're going to look at how people are actually stealing these drugs, especially we note among the younger crowd of people, more in their 20s, that are stealing prescription drugs from their parents, grandparents, or whatever to use for a variety of things. Mostly is because there's a lack of sleep issue that's going on, and this lack of sleep is very, very critical to young people who are in college. We also have the issue of staying awake in class. You know, how do I stay awake in class? So some stimulants and barbiturates are used for that. And then we have the issue of just staying energized. And we've got this big craze going across America about drinking these drinks that are in the cans in every, just about every convenience store. Gosh, I looked some time ago, and the cans are so big, it doesn't even look like it's comfortable to hold them and drink from them. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, they're so big. Yeah. And so, and these are drugs that supposedly stimulate the brain, and it does for a short time, and then you need it again, just like good old coffee. And coffee is one of the most underlying drugs that people are not aware of, the caffeine that's in the drug. We find that people are, as they're bringing out on the news, taking advantage of the medical marijuana, okay? And so in doing that, we need to look at whether or not medical marijuana is an answer to our problems. And also not to shoot down any of it, because they're all drugs. Even the coffee is a drug. But also they seem to ignore the fact that alcohol is one of the worst drugs that we have out there. And many students drink, just like many older adults. The first thing they do when they walk into the house is pour a drink for themselves. So, you know, it's really hard to teach these simple lessons about what we're doing to ourselves. I mean, is it really that alcohol is so much better? Any ideas on that?
Well, I think it's probably, this is my opinion, but I think it's probably worse than marijuana, because you get high, your driving's affected, you can become alcoholic. I've heard marijuana is only psychologically addictive, but I've talked to people who think it's physically addictive too. But
well,
I don't
I've
think
heard,
alcohol
yeah.
is the problem. I don't think it's as big a problem.
You don't think alcohol is as big a problem?
I'm sorry, I said it backwards. I think alcohol is a worse problem than marijuana.
Right, right. Yes, it is. Medical research has shown us that the brain at certain levels of alcohol use are, it's just incredible the amount of damage that is done to the brain by using alcohol. And certainly I'm not here to push medical marijuana or any drug substance, even coffee. But I think as we go forward, and our job is to teach and learn about these things, I think that it's important for us to look at everything that could actually hurt a student succeeding in school or someone succeeding on the job. And that many programs do not look at the whole picture. Okay, we'll be doing another show on how we eat, you know, the health aspect of eating of different foods, and how that affects us at the workplace. We'll be talking about relationships and how they can play a big part in damaging our ability to stay focused. in school and at work. So there's a lot of things that must be considered and strengthened. You know, our thought process must be strengthened. Let me get, I'm sorry, I have another call in. I think that's our co-host. Hello, this is Professor Applewhite.
Nazim Rashid here. Good morning.
Good morning, Nazim Rashid. We certainly are so glad that you are here. Have you been able to hear what we've been talking about?
Yes, it's been very interesting.
Great. Because this prescription drug issue is very, very important. And I want to go back a minute to the general statement that people come up with when I ask them, how many drugs do you take to feel better at school or at work? And the first thing I hear is, I don't take any drugs unless they're prescribed to me. All right? So then I had, and it's unusual when I find somebody that doesn't have any drugs in their purse, okay, or in their medicine closet. But what's happened is I had them, one of the assignments I gave them is to look around their house and look for certain drugs. And they were shocked by how many drugs that they have around them. And that goes for everything from Tylenol to drops that they put in their nose to coffee that they drink every morning. And then alcohol that they have at night. I mean, when you're adding it all up, it comes to really a surprising picture, a surprising profile of how we look at our lives and the way we use drugs. And then when we talk about prescribed drugs, that can be pretty scary, too, to open up your cabinet and see what you've been prescribed for pain and anxiety. Depression. Now, what do you think about all that?
Well, it's pretty awful, and a lot of people have a lot more than that. You know, some people are just addicted to taking drugs, and you know, regardless of what they are, they got to be putting things in their mouth because they feel that they're unable to take care of their matters themselves. They have no sense of empowerment, no sense of them feeling that they can make a change within. So they depend on change from without, and what happens, they never really get the change they want.
And you're not learning about what these drugs are doing. Nobody talks about alcohol as an issue. I'll tell you why I'm saying that. This morning, actually, on CNN, they were focusing on housewives who have anxiety and depression disorders and how they must use medical marijuana in order to take care of their children, in order to survive in their household, period, because of the amount of stress that they experience just managing a household. That was pretty scary for me, to be very honest with you. Okay, now if the diagnosis was there, okay, because I'm writing right now for a dual diagnosed home for women, and the dual diagnosis started way before their children were born. They had bipolar issues and depression and that kind of thing. So with the exception of that group of women. Now we go to the housewife that has been up until a certain point without any problem, and all of a sudden she has children and a husband to feed and a number of errands to run throughout the day. Now it's causing her anxiety, and she's taking medication to address that. The medication of THC, which is in marijuana. Why isn't that something? Can you see that, Dorothy? I can't even imagine that.
Oh, no, I can't, because I remember when I was home with the kids, I don't remember having to take all that to survive. I went to church, though. I prayed a lot.
Yeah, and you know, there, a lot of prayer is necessary when you're raising children, especially when you have a lot of small ones at one time. So I'm not, and certainly if it, for our listeners, I'm not saying that, I'm not being judgmental at all. I'm not trying to do that. We don't do that on the show. But what we're doing is just acknowledging what's going on and the surprise that's related to that.
Yeah.
Any comments?
Mm-hmm. Well, one comment I have is I found out how easy it is to get, I wasn't even trying to, but I had some itchy skin once and I couldn't get any medicine that would relieve it. And I went from one doctor to another trying to get prescriptions, and none of them gave me the most obvious prescription. But I saw four doctors, and only one of them asked me if I was on any other meds. And I'm in a wheelchair, so you'd think they'd want to know that, because routinely paraplegics are given more than one type of medicine.
Exactly. But they just continue to write them. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, now that was some years back. I don't know if that's gotten any better or not.
It hasn't. No, it hasn't. From the research we're getting now, it's actually much, much worse.
Okay, that's what I figured.
Yeah.
And also, another thing about coffee, a statistic I heard on the radio. I'm not sure if it's a true one or not, but probably, is that one out of 16 people who use Starbucks coffee has hallucinations from it. They hear singing and stuff like that and voices a little.
Wow.
And that's one reason they use it. That's like three or more cups.
Okay. Right. And they do drink, people drink more than one cup. They assume, the assumption is that when they get a large cup of, and I have to expand this to say Starbucks, the Seattle coffee, any of the major chains of coffee that have very strong caffeine in them, because we can't just focus on one company. But
right, I understand that. That's just what I heard from the statistics.
Sure, and that's good that you bring that out, because across the board, many of these companies are using a much more potent caffeine-induced drinks. I mean, from the what do you call the what are some of the drinks out there? Latte.
Latte. Frappe. French frappe.
Frappuccino. Frappuccino. Is that it?
Yeah, frappuccinos, stuff like
right.
that. I mean, there's all kinds of them, and then they put caramel and a bunch of stuff in it that. I mean, I love ice cream as much as anybody else and caramel, but it's not good for you either.
A lot of it's not good for you. Just pure sugar.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just pure sugar. And the thing is that espresso in itself, and I really hope our listeners are really into this, because if you're a student or a teacher, and I know when I began my first teaching position 30-something years ago, we always went to the lounge and had a cup of coffee. A big pot was always there for us to have our coffee break, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, this is a common thing. But now it's moved into a whole nother level where people are drinking so much of this stuff that they're shaking.
They're mm-hmm.
shaking because the caffeine has moved to another level in their body. And we
mm-hmm.
just don't know where this is going to lead to. So we're just advising some of our listeners out there to look at what you're drinking, to look at what you're eating, okay? Because when you're having trouble with taking a test, when you're having trouble with listening to your instructor or your employer and following directions. There may be something in the food or the drinks that you're taking that that are linked to prescriptions. Recently, an actor by the name of Corey Haynes was linked to illegal prescription drug use. And now that's illegal prescription drugs. They're legal and illegal, and both of them are prevalent in our society. Any comment? It's an addiction issue. It's truly an addiction to, I want to feel better. I want to feel better, and somehow I just don't feel good, so I need something to make me feel good. And that comes into an area of what Nazim talks about in his book, Reconnecting, doesn't it, Nazim?
Yes, it does. All comes back to us not realizing self-appreciation. If you don't have self-appreciation, you're going to always depend on some outside force to make you feel good. You don't feel you can make yourself feel good.
Also, exercise can be really therapeutic, too.
Mm-hmm.
It produces, I think it's endorphins in your brain, which relax you and make you feel better and less depressed.
Mm-hmm.
They've done some studies with mentally ill people and reduced medication by taking, by having them exercise vigorously, but not too vigorously.
Yeah.
And another problem they have is non-prescription medication abuse. Because, like, you can go to the antihistamine aisle and, you know, it's good and bad. When I was a kid, all I could get was chlorotrimetan that didn't work for me. But now you can get Benadryl and all those other ones that make you more sleepy and all that kind of stuff. And some of them are also over the counter, too.
Yes, over the counter. And so we look at 10 years ago, some of the drugs that are out there now that were prescribed are now over the counter. You can just pick them up and buy them and walk away. I heard some very disturbing news about how mothers are giving children NyQuil and what's another one that's out there?
Benadryl.
Okay. I always like to make sure that we cover ourselves by we're not just targeting one company here, but actually this is very serious that the child grows up, Nazim, on drugs, really.
Right. And did you know NyQuil has alcohol in it?
Oh, yes. Very, very aware of that. A lot of alcohol.
If you drink alcohol from childhood, you can become addicted?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And so what Nazim said earlier is that people they're still looking for this thing inside of them that's going to make them happy. There's a void in it. There's a void. And so we go on and we make these decisions to go to school and to go to work so we can improve our lives, but there's still this void inside that says, I need something else because I still don't feel good about what I'm doing. It's just not enough. Well, when is it ever enough, Nothing?
Never is.
Yeah.
It never is?
No, it's not going to be enough. They can't reach the high they want to have. It will never be enough for them. That's like the dog chasing his tail. Why does the dog chase the tail? Because the dog can see it. But he can never attain it. Because he sees it, he always goes after it. When the addict, has an addiction, they get high again. They can remember that high, so they see it, but they can never attain that level. but their quest is just go after it anyway. So it's like an endless quest for that one, that big high, which they never get.
My goodness, Nazim, how can we help our students and our teachers out there? Because there's a lot of our teachers that are taking drugs now. And when I say that, and I hope that, let's check the chat here. I hope that our teachers are aware that we're not saying that you're drug addicts or anything like that. And I hope they're hearing everything we're saying, that the drugs that you're using most of the time is coffee. And you just heard Tom talk about some research of 3 cups of coffee from Starbucks, and that can cause some problems. So that's really what I'm trying to say. And so with teachers, especially Nazim, these are professionals. We need to help them. The students that are going to school that have had disadvantaged situations, and they make that step to go to school, they're making a very big step. How do they come away from the addictions that they have been so accustomed to?
It all comes back to self-appreciation again. If they appreciate their real, true self, they will never need drugs, alcohol, coffee, or any of those things. It all comes back to the same thing.
Yes.
You already have.
Right.
Don't think they have anything to appreciate. So, therefore, they go outside themselves for relief.
Well, one thing I've learned from AA is it helps a lot of people to believe in a higher power, whether it's God, whether it's the group that helps you with your addictions or your friends, something that's more powerful than yourself. You know what I mean?
Well, we have, I think that's important. I've heard a lot of stuff with AA. I have only one thing to say to anyone out there that's going to AA or any of the other 12-step programs is this. Be aware that every time you say, I am an alcoholic, that it reinforces the alcoholism that you're dealing with. If you could possibly, in your mind, just think of saying, I am a recovered alcoholic or a recovered addict, okay, that might help to move you into another level of looking at yourself.
Well, how about get rid of that entirely? I'm a wonderful, healthy, life-giving, health-sharing, wealth-enjoying human being, full of life, full of energy. My health is vibrant. I touch everybody with love and compassion. How about turning it around and saying that? Get rid of all the negative energy. Get rid of anything that will bring you into the pot of addiction, negativity, and life-destroying elements. Get rid of all the energy that doesn't serve you. Why have any that doesn't serve you in the highest dimension? Get rid of everything. That includes people, your mother, father, husband, wife. Get rid of everybody and everything that doesn't serve your highest interest, and that includes your addiction. That's how you do it.
So all of the people in your life are using substances constantly, and here you are, this professional person. I guess the only idea that we can come up with is what we've said about other issues that we've talked about on the show, and that is that we have to separate ourselves from those we love sometimes.
That's right. You have to do that. We are products of our environment. If your environment has negative energy to it, around it, some of that's going to come in and be a part of your internal landscape. So that's just how that is. So we have to understand that. With addictions, you got the physical, you got the psychological. You got to detox physically, you got to deal with the psychological. You got to deal with both evidence. You know, in the 12-step program, the good ones, they'll tell you that you, your environment has to be one of health and life, not the other way around. Without any compromise, there could be a zero tolerance for anything that would deplete your energy. Zero tolerance for that.
Sometimes you have to rebuild your friendships, too. You know what I mean?
Yes.
If all your friends are addicted to drugs, then it may be time to get new friends, for example, outside
and,
the group.
You know, it's so easy to say sometimes, even for people who are, I remember going through a weight class, nutrition, and we're talking about being around people who eat. And now you take a different change, you make a different change in your life to eat differently. Now you change your whole, you change your friendships, because you know, your friendships are people that love to go and eat and eat and eat, and you've changed that now. So you have to, in a way, disassociate yourself. And it doesn't mean you have to be mean to those that were with you before, but that you have to make a stand about who you are when you say, I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to drink tons of coffee. And, you know, I don't want to take these prescription drugs constantly. I want to ask my doctor, and please do, always ask your doctor, you know, is it okay to come off of these drugs, and do I need them anymore? So that's a very important thing. We have someone on chat right now that's asking us some questions about, I believe, concern about the program today. So we encourage anyone else to, if they're kind of embarrassed to go on air, to please go into the chat room, and either Nazim or myself will answer your question. So let's go back for a minute. I want to go back for a minute and share some of the shocking things that I've heard recently that I can't even seem to wrap my mind around. This is from a nurse. A nurse who said to me that people actually steal Ritalin, which Ritalin is used for ADD, attention deficit disorder, or an ADHD, attention deficit hyperactive disorder. So I was really concerned when she said that while she was involved with these parents that were going through the program with their children, that they were discussing the fact that they actually mash the pill down and sniff it like you sniff cocaine.
I've seen them do it with Valium, too.
Pardon me?
I've seen people do that with Valium, too.
Wow, I had no idea. And so she was mentioned, and this is a registered nurse. She travels around the country. And they call her to work at different hospitals 3 to 4 months at a time. And so she is not just talking about one state. She's talking about her experiences all over the United States, and that patients have even admitted to her that they sell pills for anywhere from $1 a piece to $10 a piece. And I was just flabbergasted at knowing that that's such a big operation now.
Mm-hmm.
And so realistically, you have to be very careful about who is around the prescription drugs that have been prescribed to you.
Yeah.
I mean, can you imagine that? That now you have to be involved with watching, you know, your medicine cabinet.
Hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
There's another caller on air right now. Hello, this is Professor Applewhite. Hello? You have a, I have a 200 prefix. You want to say good morning? Oh, wait a minute. Maybe I muted you. I'm sorry. There you go. Say your name again, please. Wait a minute. I think I... Okay, got it. Now, say your name now, please. It still did that. I don't know why it keeps kicking you out there. Just stay there. There you go. There you are. Okay, it seems like it's a little slower than usual today. And who's calling in?
This is Maria Ramirez.
Maria Ramirez, thank you so much for calling in. One of our guests on the show, but also she is the general membership person for White Apple Institute. And we're happy to hear from you and to know that the subject is interesting enough for you to get involved. Have you been listening to what we've been saying about prescription drugs?
A little bit.
Okay. All right. So if you have any comments, you just jump right in and say what you have to say, because we certainly are looking for ways to help students and teachers feel more relaxed, to get more sleep at night, to feel less stressed in their day, so they won't have to resort to tons of coffee, and I say that humorously, but that they won't have to drink so much coffee, that they won't have to take so many drugs, whether they're prescribed drugs or non-prescribed prescription drugs, okay? And the only reason we're doing this now, this show, part one and part two at White Apple Institute, is because we're seeing this happening a lot, and we're hearing about it, and we thought we might address those issues. Now, I think you have more to say about addiction.
Yes, are you ready for that?
Yes, please. We have about 22 minutes left remaining on the show, and we'd love to hear what you have to say.
Okay, all right. It's, last week I mentioned the inherent and acquired addictions, and so we have to keep that in mind always. Always drugs or other kind of drugs. We got to know what's inside. We do that by studying our family history and seeing what our family has and so forth, so we know where our proclivities are, where our inclinations are, where our attractions are. You know,
what
that's real important.
Are?
Where our attractions are. Attractions, yeah, attractions.
Right. Yes.
And so we have to realize what that is and so forth. So, and once you realize that, then you have to treat the tendencies. Again, we have to treat the tendencies. So if you have a tendency toward cocaine, you know, you can't be around cocaine, you know. If you have a tendency toward toward bourbon, you can't be in a bar. You can't be around that. Because after all, the addict, you know, sees things in grandiose terms, So one drink to a moderate person, moderate drinker who doesn't have the X factor for addiction, is a whole bottle to the addict. That's what they see.
Mm-hmm.
You see, so we have to keep that in mind always. And so that's what's real, real important. So with the addictions, we have to just watch, you know, watch our environment, you know, and watch who's around us and so forth. Again, you have all different kinds of addictions, the caffeine, television, social groups, food, control over others, codependency in relationships, jobs, material achievements, criminal behavior, sex, inflated egos, drugs, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's real important that since the human being tends to depend on exterior motivation, see, it's no wonder why we have so many deadly attachments, you see, because, you know, again, a lot of us don't have the self-appreciation. We don't realize the help we have inside, the God self inside. We don't have that. A lot of us don't realize we have that. And so, therefore, we depend on that which we physically see out there for our help, our survival, and for our life. And so we don't understand. So this is why it's important. Matter of fact, in my addictions chapter, I'll read a small little paragraph. It says, we have this need to reach out and cling on, for to not do so for the vast majority of us leads to a feeling of being inadequate, incomplete, not whole, alone, unsafe, and not belonging anywhere. This unmet need can lead to depression and various psychological disorders, according to reports of various psychologists. Instead of using what I call consequential thinking, which means thinking in a methodical, logical manner, respecting the law of cause and effect.
Yes.
We allow subconsciously our emotions, unchecked by knowledge, to lead us to unhealthy attachments. Because of the inherent need to please and to connect, even the prostitute feels somewhat whole now that she has found a low-down pimp to manage her. Because of the same inherent need to please, the nice, quiet, religious wife chooses the seemingly nice husband, not consciously acknowledging that he is an alcoholic and abuser, just hoping the problem would just go away. Consequential thinking will lead us to healthier attachments that not only benefit us personally, but will benefit others to whom we are in contact. That's important right there. And so that's in quote there. So we have to realize what we are finding ourselves clinging on to. What are we attaching ourselves to? What are we surrounding ourselves by? You know, what energy makes us feel good, supposedly, you know? And we got to watch those things. And so then we can kind of check the addictive possibility we have within us. I'll kind of pause there.
Well, I think that what you're saying is absolutely true, especially when we talk about, number one, recognizing our attractions. Our attractions are very important to us, but sometimes our attractions are things that actually hurt us. They really hurt us when we're attracted to it and we want it badly and we can't get it. It begins to wear down our need for it tends to increase our desire for it, because the more, and I know we've all heard this, the more we think about it, that it becomes more important to us. So I always talk about, in some way, replacing the attraction, okay? Somewhere placing it. And that goes into the consequential thinking, too, is that when we think about, what is this going to do when I do this? What's going to happen when I do this? What are the consequences of me, you know, as little children? What are the consequences of me stealing this candy and getting caught?
Okay? Right.
Now, yeah, children can't think totally like that, but as students in a college or postgraduate setting, okay, we expect, and I'll listen carefully, listeners, we expect you to know how to understand the consequences. And teachers, the responsibility lays on you to respect that too. Because, you see, you're not monitored as the students are. And the main reason for that is because we anticipate, and I say we as society, anticipate that you already know about consequential thinking. Isn't that right, Nazim?
Exactly right, yes. Yeah.
And so even parents, and we don't talk a lot about parents, but parents are involved still with, especially the students that are 22, and some of them, as a matter of fact, I have a 30-something-year-old student that her mother is still involved in her life and helping her get through school and babysitting for her and lessening the stress in her life. But she is suffering from so much anxiety right now that it is scary to think that she will go into a mode of taking a prescription drug to help her with her anxiety, and she's talking to her doctor about it. And it's not my place to tell her, no, don't do that. I'm just giving her, again, back to the consequences. That's all we can do, right?
That's right.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else to share with us?
Well, yeah, let me just read a little more here and understand, basically see how we get to the point of being this addict that we don't even know after a while. See, one thing I talk about in the book, I say human beings, all human beings are prone to some kind of attachment or addiction. The engaging of the sperm and the egg is an attaching process. The semen is very sticky. We were all born through the process of attaching. It is through attaching that we were formed into living, breathing human beings. The attaching process continues as we are attached to our mothers through the umbilical cord.
Yes.
After that cord is physically severed, our attachment to our mothers continues as she is, in our minds, God.
Mm-hmm.
You see? It is a natural process to look at our origin for our strength, guidance, direction, and what our accepted standards are going to be. The healthy mother, the quote again, the healthy mother, knowing this, will give the best that she has, keeping the attributes of God in mind. Automatically, she will be a source of compassion, love, generosity, caring, giving, empathy, mercy, forgiving, providing, nurturing, and protecting. See, her intention is to pass on God's qualities and characteristics to the infant. So she does this first by demonstrating the characteristics and secondly, informing the child where these characteristics originate. See, this is an example of healthy attachment and how the great majority of us started our life on this earth. If we have in our minds only attached our true selves to God and his attributes, we can then have a good standard of our earthly association. I'll stop there.
Okay, and that may be a good place to pause for a moment because we have another caller online that is asking to come on board. And the caller, you're on air, and it looks like you're in a 209 area. This is Professor Applewhite. Thank you for joining us.
Hello, Professor Applewhite. This is Kim calling out of California, and hello to all the callers and listeners on your show. I'm glad to hear what I'm hearing on the show about prescription meds and how it works and what's going on with the professionals who are utilizing prescription meds. I know you only have so much time left on the show, so one of the comments I would like to make is America by far is the most medicated country in the world. I have been to Europe, and one of the things I didn't notice on television, I did notice rather, is there wasn't a lot of commercials about prescription medication, which enhances the thinking process of people and their ability to not make the right choices. They're just getting it on television. So for years, we've had a lot of that. So we hope to not see as much on television about meds and maybe more about holistic options that are working for many people, cancer victims, AIDS victims. There's so many holistic ways that you can heal ourselves. So I would like to hear more about that in the future as well. And I just have one more. Can I make a comment?
Sure, please.
And I just have one more comment. Medication equals no production. So if we very medicated, we will not have a society of people who can produce. So we hope to keep that in mind. Many other countries know that if they have people that are on medication and full of meds, they don't get any production. So I'd like to leave my comment there.
That goes for alcohol too, right? But
yes.
Even prescription meds, and I really appreciate, I'm sure we all do, how you brought that out about commercials. I didn't know that. And I guess unless you travel a lot, you wouldn't know that. And you have been in the field of social work for, what, 20 years?
No, just about 20 years. Just about 20 years watching this whole process of medication. And I like when you guys really brought out about Starbucks. You don't hear a lot of people say they go to Starbucks like I do and just get tea.
Right, right. Yeah,
you know, and you...
No, yeah. That's very, very true.
Just getting tea. You know, the last situation we had, I think it was in the Midwest last week or a week and a half ago, where they had major storms, if everyone remembers, major, major storms. And the only company that was number one that entire week or those 2 weeks of those storms was, guess who? Starbucks.
Wow.
People went to Starbucks before they went to the grocery store to buy food.
Okay. Well, that's interesting. And Starbucks, we certainly, we're not trying to put you down or anything, because I frequent Starbucks myself, but it's all about balance, and I always talk about balance a lot, okay?
Yeah.
And we've got to have balance in the way that we look at things, everything, in the way we intake things into our system. Don't you agree? Everything
yes.
you take into the system has to be balanced. And I would like to ask you a question, Kim, because you're one of our board members for White Apple Institute, and I just wanted to elaborate a little bit on something, because I know you're really out there. I mean, you work with dual-diagnosed women. You've worked with people who are suffering with great addiction, and you're currently doing that. We're currently doing it through White Apple Institute, but not one-on-one, because we are virtual. We work on a computer. Have you been finding this prescription drug issue where people are selling these drugs or stealing them and snipping them up their nose? And what is all this new thing that's out there?
Oh, absolutely. That's been going on for years, from OxyContin to, you know, just your basic medications for people who are ADHD, you know, and it's becoming even a bigger issue now. There was a recent issue with a young man going into a prescription store, and he wanted the medication that he wanted for, I think it was a muscle relaxer at the time. He was also a veteran, I believe. And if I'm incorrect, someone can, you know, you can make sure you can log on and make sure you correct us, because we want to make sure we're putting out always the right information. But this young man, it was on CNN, and walked into a Walgreens and basically didn't have enough money to pay for it. He didn't have any insurance. So he told the person, I'm going to rob you, you know, just to get that medication, and then left a lesser amount of money on the table, or, you know, for the cashier.
Trying to at least honor out of respect and pay for it, but he absolutely needed it to help him. And that's one thing we want people to understand, is that we recognize, listeners, that everyone has a different need, and some of us need prescription, truly do need prescription. That's what we're talking about, what Nazim is talking about with addiction, is that, and consequences, is that we just examine, we try a trial and see with your doctor's assistance whether or not you can come off of a drug that's there for anxiety, depression, or things related to you not performing your job or going to school and being successful. That's all we're trying to say. Does that make
Correct.
Sense to everybody?
Yes.
I hope so.
Sure.
And we have people on chat right now, and it's wonderful. Remember, we do have that if you have a computer, and we will respond to you. And so don't go away from us when you come on. We're really sorry. Sometimes it does take a little longer for us to get back to our chat customers. Well, we have 5 minutes remaining on the show, and we want to give some time to Dorothy, our resource consultant. We want to ask, is there anything critical that anybody feels we need to close with this show before we let Dorothy come on with the resources?
Well, just for a second, if I might. Sometimes we have addictions that are cross-purpose, like a doctor gives you sleeping pills and you drink a lot of coffee instead of not drinking the coffee, and then you might not need the sleeping pills. There's a lot of addictions like that.
Then you might not need the, I'm sorry, I missed that. If you do what?
Okay, let's say you take a lot of sleeping pills because you have trouble sleeping, but you drink a lot of coffee because you're sleepy. Well, if you stop drinking the coffee, you might not need the sleeping pills. And a lot of addictions are cross addictions like that.
Ah, that's right. They're cross addictions. Very good point.
Cross addictions. I like that.
Dorothy, are you ready to talk to us about a few resources?
Oh, yes. I want to remind everybody the library, I still like to remind everybody the library is a great resource.
Yes, it is.
And also, I would like to remind everybody that if they need to check out AmeriCorps, if you need to pay off student loans, or get some assistance and information about how to reduce what you're paying for the student back to the, for a student loan.
And they can
and
get
also
calling White Apple Institute, right?
Pardon?
They can just get that information by calling White Apple Institute, and our board member, Dr. Martha Bergen, will connect them and get them started.
Yes, and I put that on the student in the comments section. I put that in her, some information there so that anyone who would like more information and can quickly get it from your radio site.
Right. Uh-huh. Good. Good. That's good. As long as we'd like you to go through White Apple Institute since you heard about it from here, so that way we keep aware of how many students are listening to us and how many we're able to help. We really want you to do that. So that's a good idea, Dorothy. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank
you. You're welcome.
What about this online shopping thing? We want to remind people that if they're doing any online shopping.
Oh, yes. It's WhiteAppleInstituteLastOff.com. And when they join there, they'll be able to shop from their own mall and get cash back and also get discounts when they're shopping.
Oh, cool.
A portion of what they buy, a portion of that percentage will come into White Apple Institute. So it's an easy way to make a charitable donation to White Apple Institute.
Right, right, exactly. And then the membership, I was just talking to our webmaster last night, and our webmaster has mentioned that, the membership is working just great. So the only thing people have to do is just click on the button and they can become a member and support our work. So we really, and the membership fees are so low, there's no reason in the world why we can't ask for donations and memberships to help people. This money that we collect goes to small grants, and these small grants help students who are having challenges going to school or going to work because of a disability or some other disadvantage in their life. So we sure hope that you would do that for the work. We're all volunteers, and we appreciate you helping us with this great work, this great mission that we have to serve God. And we have a Danish proverb that I'd like to share with you, and it's from the book Purpose Driven Life. And it says, what you are is God's gift to you. What you do with yourself is your gift to God. I hope everybody understood that, how clearly associated that is with what we've been talking about today. If you're interested in the music that we play at the show, make sure that you are next to White Apple. I'll tell you about great artists, Steve, and how to get that out. play. Thank you for being with us. We'll see you next Saturday morning. Thank you so much for being part of this business. Oh, my God.